Galatians chapter 1, that's page 1403 in this Bible. That's the end of verse 3. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he should deliver us out of the present evil world. John's Gospel chapter 4, and just begin at verse 4. And he must needs pass through Samaria. He comes therefore to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near to the land which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. The fountain of Jacob's was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with the way he had come, so just as he was at the fountain, it was about the sixth hour. A woman comes out of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city that they might buy provisions. The Samaritan woman therefore says to him, "How dost thou, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, who am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no intercourse with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman says to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinks of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst forever. But the water which I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. I have a feeling I may have read this last time I preached here, nevertheless. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. "And as he went forth into the way, a person ran up to him, kneeling to him, asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'Why callest thou me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honour thy father and mother.' And he answering said to him, 'Teacher, all these things have I kept from my youth.' And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, said to him, 'One thing lackest thou. Go, sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come follow me, taking up the cross.' But he, sad at the word, went away grieved, for he had large possessions." A long, long time ago in London, one dull, gloomy, damp winter's day, on London Bridge, there stood an old beggar. And this old beggar was trying to scratch a tune from an old violin. And he wasn't being very successful. Scratched away with his bow, but, you know, it wasn't very musical what came out. And worse than that, you know, there was the odd passerby. They didn't stop for a minute either to listen or to put a penny into the old man's hat. It just passed on. The poor chap was there, miserable, cold, disheartened. He was almost on the point of giving up. And then a stranger came across the bridge and stopped, stood by the man. And the old beggar looked at him and thought, "Last, perhaps he'll put a penny in my cap." The stranger didn't do that. He turned to the old beggar and he said, "Hand me the violin. Hand me the violin." The beggar was almost glad just to get rid of the thing. Handed it over to the stranger. Stranger tightened a couple of strings and set about playing this old violin. And a total contrast, you know, to what had gone before. Lovely music came out of the violin. A beautiful tune. A sort of tune, you know, that arrested those that were walking along and stopped them. One stopped to listen, put a penny in the cap and stayed to listen further. And another. And another. And soon a crowd built up and a big pile of coins was found in the old man's hat. And one of the people in the crowd said to his neighbour, he says, "You know what? That's Paganini, that is. That one playing that violin, that's Paganini, the master violinist. And so it was, you know, this master violinist had come upon this old tramp and picked up the violin, you know. And from that old instrument, he'd managed to bring forth a beautiful tune. That old violin, my friend, is like the lives of men, women and children today. In this world, dissatisfied, unhappy, uncertain, trying to find joy, trying to find pleasure, trying to find satisfaction in the things in this world, and failing miserably. No matter what string they play, it never brings any joyful sound. That old violin, you know, is just like you and me, poor lost sinners. What was it that changed the tune on that violin? Why, it was the master. And my friend, I want to introduce you tonight to Jesus. And the transforming power of the gospel can take that life of yours that might be full of disappointment and misery and turn it into a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of satisfaction, you know. We have a hope outside of this world that death can't touch. That's what's available in the gospel tonight, you know. I read of two persons in the gospels. Two persons. Both of them were like that old violin. Both of them were dissatisfied. The woman that we read of in John 4, I know we had a preaching about her recently. There she was, you know, trying to find the pleasures in this world and never getting any satisfaction from it. The other, you might say, is a different case. And yet, in many ways, he was just the same. He knew there was still something missing in his life. He was dissatisfied too. Both of them came to the Saviour. One of them got the blessing. You know, one of them, their life was transformed. The other missed out. Oh, my friend, I want to introduce you, as I say, to the one who can transform your life and change it completely. Turn it around. And so I read in Galatians, you know, about Jesus, the subject of the gospel, the master himself, the master of the universe. He created the world. It tells us that, you know. The wonder of it is, you know, that the God, the man, the one who made the universe, came down into manhood to meet the need that stopped you finding any joy and peace and satisfaction. All the need of your heart was met by Jesus in his precious finished work at Calvary's cross. Because at the root of the dissatisfaction and the unhappiness at the lives of men, women and children today is the great matter of sin. Sin that came in the Garden of Eden, and it's affected every man, woman and child since. The whole human race and the whole of creation. You know, all the misery in the world today, everything you see, the unhappiness, the sorrow, the violence, the disappointment, the distress, it's all the result of sin. And you know, every one of us has been affected by that disease. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And until, my friend, you get that matter of your sins dealt with, you'll never find peace. You'll never find true joy. You'll never find true satisfaction. You'll never find hope, because it can only be found with a transaction with Jesus. The transforming power of the gospel tonight is available to you, because Jesus, you know, has come into this world, taken upon himself the burden of your sins and mine, and bore that burden to Calvary. That's why I read firstly in this verse in Galatians, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Think of what's engaged in that word, you know, he gave himself. You know, why did Jesus give himself? Why did God send his son into the world? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son into the world. Whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have life eternal. You know, Jesus came to bear the penalty of your sins because you couldn't pay it. You could never pay the debt of your sins. It's too great, you know. For a holy, righteous, sin-hating God, there's nothing that you can offer to remove one single sin from his sight. Think of the hopeless condition of man, you know. Present to you in the gospel man's hopeless condition. All lost, under condemnation. Thankfully, you know, we have in the gospel the remedy that God himself has provided. And it's found in Jesus and his precious finished work. He gave himself. You know, nothing else would do for God. Nothing else would satisfy a holy, righteous God. But a perfect, sinless sacrifice, substitute, who could bear your sins and mine on the cross of Calvary. And that's what he did, you know. He came down from the glory, that wonderful journey he took down from the glory into this world. Think of that precious life. We love to study it, don't we? As he walked amongst men doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And that life, you know, had to be laid down. That life, you know, was the proof that everything about Jesus was suitable, was qualified to take up the matter of sin and sins. Yes, my friend, that's why Jesus came. He came to give the ultimate sacrifice. He gave himself. Why? For nothing else would do. He gave himself for our sins. God was happy, able to accept the sacrifice of Jesus as a penalty, as a payment for your sins and mine. He went to the cross, you know, bore that hatred of men. But far more than that, in those 3 hours of darkness, he bore the righteous judgment of a holy God against sin and sins in its totality. Absolutely. Everything that God had against sin and sins was borne by Jesus. Think of the immensity, you know, of what was compressed into those 3 hours of darkness. We'll never understand it. And that's why, you know, God clothed the scene in darkness, so that men couldn't witness that terrible transaction. It was there an eternity of communion was broken, you know. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Think of what it meant, you know, for him to give himself. He came into this world. He went that journey, knowing full well what was required of him. And yet he went nevertheless. Why? Because he loved you and he loved me. Oh, the precious truth of the gospel, you know. Jesus went into death to pay the penalty of your sins because he loved you, because he loved me. Thank God, you know, that God accepted that payment, accepted it in full, so that on the third day Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Soon, you know, to ascend into heaven, where he's crowned with glory and honour, a prince and a saviour. That precious saviour, you know, is the one I would love to introduce you to tonight. These two persons that I read off, you know, they had a transaction with Jesus. And tonight you can have a transaction with Jesus. If you never ever have done before, tonight is the time when you can come to him. In the faith of your heart, confess that you're a sinner, repent, and put your trust in that finished work. Believe that it was for you. Oh, what a marvellous work Jesus completed at Calvary to God's eternal satisfaction. So that tonight, you know, we can tell you there's forgiveness for sins. There's peace. There's joy. There's hope. There's satisfaction available in the glad tidings. Well, I read about this woman in John 4. As I say, I know we heard about her a few weeks ago, but it's a lovely passage of scripture, John 4. It always affects you when you read it. It begins with the Lord Jesus, it says he must needs pass through Samaria. It just reminds me, you know, of the journey that Jesus has taken. He's come from the glory. He's taken a journey. He's taken a journey on your behalf. He took a journey on this woman's behalf. He's taken a journey on your behalf. A journey that led him to Calvary. And it says, when we're introduced to him, it says that he, being weary with the way he had come, he sat just as he was at the fountain. I love that, you know. Think of Jesus, Son of God himself, the Creator himself. As he walked through the dust of the earth, you know, that he created and took a seat on this well, it says he sat just as he was at the well. And it just speaks to me about how near, how approachable, how simple Jesus was, you know. There was nothing that pushed people away from Jesus when he was here. Sinners came to him. They were attracted to him. You read at the beginning of Luke 15, you know, it says they were sinners, tax gatherers and sinners, were gathered together to hear him. You know, little children, as they came to him, he took them in his arms, you know. Children don't naturally always run to a stranger. They came to Jesus, took them in his arms, you know. Something attractive, something beautiful about Jesus. The woman, you know, that came up behind him, touched the hem of his garment. She realized that here was someone who had come near to her, came within her reach, so she might reach out in faith. He came within reach of this woman, and he's in reach of you and me tonight. She knows nothing about you that repels him. Yes, he's holy, harmless, separated from sinners. And yet, you know, he's one who would have you to come near to him. His arms would be outstretched in blessing for you tonight, if only you'll come to him. Come as you are, in all your sins. You know, there's nothing about your sins that will push Jesus away. He knows how bad they are. He knows all about you. It's a good thing to remember, you know. You've nothing to hide with him. He knows all about you. And you know, he's available for you and longing that you might come and reach out in faith and take him as your saviour tonight. He's near. He sat just as he was at the well. And so this woman comes out, you know, in the middle of the day. As we know, it's unusual for someone to come out middle of the day to draw water. But you know, she'd been coming every day, I suppose, to draw water. Every day she had to come back, find more and more, to find to satisfy her thirst. But you know, really, the Lord just goes on in his speaking to her, and he gets to the root of her problem. It wasn't just that she was physically thirsty. You know, it was her soul was thirsty. She was dissatisfied. She'd sought to find pleasure in the things of the world. She'd been married so many times, and now she was living in sin. And you know, the simple fact was, it clearly didn't give her any satisfaction and any rest. And neither will it, you know. She says to the Lord, you know, she says, the well is deep. The well is deep. And you know, the well of this world's pleasures is very deep. It's very deep. You know, you go down, and then you want to go back again, and you have to go deeper and go deeper again. Let me tell you this. The deeper that well is, the darker it gets. And that's just like this world and what it has to offer, you know. You might go there to find some pleasure initially. And then you'll find that you need to go back, but what satisfied you before doesn't satisfy you this time. So you have to go a bit deeper. And the deeper you go, the darker it gets. You know, I speak to a lot of people who have been affected by drugs and alcohol. And they never had any intention of being sucked into these things. You know, just provide a bit of light relief. But then once they get into it, they want a bit more. And they keep going back and back for more until they're trapped. That's just what the enemy does, you know. He'll suck you down into the world and its power until you can't get out. You'll never find any satisfaction there either. You just go deeper and deeper. And so many people, you know, they give up. They've had enough and they end their lives. How tragic, you know. That's what the devil would do. He wants to keep you away from Jesus. And he'll fill your life with everything that this world seems to have to offer. But it'll never bring you any lasting satisfaction. Think of the Lord's proposal to this woman. He says to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou shouldst have asked of him, he'd have given thee living waters. Living waters. Oh, isn't it wonderful to think of it, you know. There she'd gone back for the dead still waters day after day. The Lord was offering her a spring of water that wasn't dependent on the well. No, it was inside of her, springing up unto life eternal. That's what Jesus had in mind for this woman. If only you knew the gift of God. If only we appreciated, you know, all that God has in his heart for us. We wouldn't waste our time, you know, trying to find satisfaction in the things of this world. Well, he says to her, you know, if you knew the gift of God, who it says to thee, he says, he's given thee living waters. You know, really what the Lord, I suppose, really is speaking about there is the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it covers the whole gamut of the gospel, you know. Forgiveness of sins. Peace with God. A joy. A hope that can't be knocked out, you know. And the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what is on offer in the gospel tonight. A full and free salvation and blessing coming from the heart of God himself. And it's available to you. Tonight, you know, you can take it for yourself. It's there for the taking. If only you knew. He says you would have asked of him. That's all you have to do in the gospel, you know, you have to ask. Just come to him in the need of your heart and find, you know, that you ask him and he gives freely. We have a God who gives and gives and gives again. Oh, what a wonderful saviour. Now, this woman's life was transformed. That old violin that she'd been playing that gave her no satisfaction. Oh, the transforming power. She'd handed it all over to Jesus, you know. And her life was transformed. So here she was at the beginning, afraid to meet anybody, coming out in the midst of the day. By the end of the chapter, she goes into the city. Says, come see a man. Told me all things I'd ever done. Is not he the Christ? Oh, what a wonderful transformation in this woman's life. Through the link, through having a transaction with Jesus. Well, I read in Mark's Gospel about this man. One of the saddest incidents in the Gospels, this man here. Here was another man who clearly wasn't satisfied. You might say, why not? Why not? He had so much going for him, didn't he? Says, you know, that he was obviously a good, upright, law-abiding man, possibly very religious, had a good status in society. No doubt he had lots of money. It says, the Lord says he was rich, like someone today, you know, nice house, nice car, nice family. Everything looks good, nice job, nice career, all the rest of it looks good on the outside. And that's just what this man did, you know, he looked good on the outside. He looked like he had everything going for him. But you know, he knew in his soul that there was something missing. He knew there was something missing. He had all these things and yet he wasn't satisfied. You know, you might tonight look like you've got everything going for you. You might give the outward appearance of being happy, satisfied, having everything that you need, having peace with God. You might have that impression, give that impression. But you know, only you and God knows the state of your soul. And you know, just having an impression, giving an impression that everything's okay, won't save you. In fact, it'll usher you down the road to hell. My friend, you need your own personal living link with Jesus. That woman, you know, she was there alone with Jesus. And that's what you need to do, you know. You need to get alone with Jesus. Tell him that you're a sinner and ask him to save you. But no one else can do it for you. You have to do it. You have to have your own personal transaction with the Saviour. Well, this man comes to Jesus. He says to him, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the gem or the seed of his problem lay in what he said there. What shall I do? What shall I do? Let me tell you tonight, my friend, there's not a single thing you can do to earn your blessing in the gospel. If, you know, by a creature the work could be done, think ye that God would have spared not his son? You know, if you could save yourself, why would God have sent the darling of his heart to die that terrible death on the cross of Calvary? Oh, my friend, there's nothing that you can do to save yourself. Jesus has done it all. And so this man comes and he says to him, he says, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He goes through this list of all that he has done. A couple of things it says here, you know, Jesus looking upon him, loved him. Jesus looking on him, loved him. I think that's beautiful, you know. Jesus looking on him, loved him. He's looking on you tonight and he loves you. That's why he went to the cross of Calvary. Because he loved you personally. It's not the person next to you. It's not someone else. It's you. Jesus loved you. And because he loves you, you know, that's he was prepared to go to all those depths of suffering that your soul might be saved. You know, think of that. What a saviour. He loves you. Will you turn away from such a saviour? The Lord challenges this man. He says to him, one thing lackest thou, one thing. He puts his finger on the point. But the point that I want to draw attention to is that he says, one thing lackest thou, go sell whatever thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. He said that the word went away grieved, for he had large possessions. Think of that, you know, just something that he wouldn't give up. Something of this world that he wouldn't give up, that shut him out from heaven forever. Oh, how terrible, isn't it? Think of that, my friend. Think of being lost forever because of something that you wouldn't give up in this world. You know, this young man, says he went away, he turned away, went away from the Saviour. I always find that really, really sad. He went away, turned his back. He turned his back on Jesus. You can do that in a sense in the gospel tonight. You can turn your back on Jesus. It says in Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Jesus is here tonight, available to you as a Saviour, for you to put your trust in. He's done everything necessary for your blessing and salvation, and that you might have peace, joy and satisfaction. He's done it all. And it's available for you. But you can, you know, just walk out this door tonight and just ignore it. You can do. Think of that. It's just like this young man. He turned his back on Jesus. I love to think, it says the Lord looked on him. I love to think of the sunshine of God's love still shining on his back as he walked away. You know, that's the heart of God. But my friend, there comes a time, you know, when the opportunity is lost and never to be presented again. If you turn your back on Jesus tonight, the opportunity for blessing, for peace, for joy, for satisfaction might never come your way again. Think of the tragedy of that. Opportunity. You know, I think that's one of the terrifying things about hell. It will be filled with people full of remorse, knowing that they had the opportunity to be saved, and yet they missed it. Something else got in the way. One thing, like is there, is there one thing standing between you and Jesus tonight? Let it go! Let it go! You know, that's just what you have, what the old beggar had to do. He had to hand the violin over complete. That's what you need to do, you know, let go of your life and give it into the hands of the Saviour. There's nothing that you can do to save yourself, you know. We had a man in not that long ago on a Sunday night. And he sat there and he said, I don't believe I'm a lost sinner. Then the only person that can help me is myself. And there's many people like that tonight, you know. That's just what this man wanted to do. He wanted to inherit. What can I do that I may inherit life eternal? There's nothing you can do. You're a lost, helpless, hopeless sinner. But you know the gospel is available to transform that life of yours into one of unhappiness, of sorrow, of sadness and disappointment. And translate it, you know, and give you a life full of hope and joy and peace and forgiveness. And a hope that is outside of this world that death cannot touch. Jesus is coming. He's coming to call every believer to be with himself, and it won't be very long. Are you going to go to be with him? You know, it's real. The gospel is real. It's available to you tonight just for you to take for yourself. Reach out your hand in faith. Repentance towards God, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Jesus tonight. Know the transforming power of handing your life over to him. May you do so for his name's sake. Amen.